Every year, millions around the world gather under a veil of laughter and lights. Children don costumes, adults decorate homes with skeletons and cobwebs, candy changes hands, jack-o'-lanterns glow in the dark. It looks harmless, it feels festive, but appearances can lie. Behind the mask of innocence, something ancient stirs, a celebration that was never born of light, but of darkness disguised as delight. The world calls it Halloween. But before we accept the world's invitation, we must ask a harder question. What does God see when he looks at this night? The Apostle Paul writes, "Do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead even expose them." Ephesians 5:11. That is the charge of the watchman, not to condemn without knowledge, but to see beyond the costume and reveal what hides beneath. Tonight's episode is not about fear. It is about discernment. It is about remembering that the light of Christ was never meant to mingle with the shadows of this world. From the beginning, God separated light from darkness. He made a clear line, not to restrict us, but to protect us. Yet every October, the line blurs. Churches host costume parties in His name. Believers quote grace while wearing symbols of death. The world rejoices that the saints have forgotten to watch. But the true watchman cannot celebrate what God calls evil. He cannot pretend that darkness is harmless simply because it is entertaining. For the enemy has always hidden his snares beneath laughter, comfort, and curiosity. He knows that compromise is the softest form of surrender. So before we join the parade of masks and lights, we must ask, does this celebration honor the living God, or does it resurrect the memory of those who once served the dead? In this episode, we will uncover where Halloween came from, why it was created, and what it truly represents in the eyes of Scripture. Because to defend the truth, we must first unmask the lie. Before it was called Halloween, before candy and costumes, it was known by another name, Samhain. Pronounced Sa-win, it marked the end of harvest and the beginning of winter, a season of death, dormancy, and decay. To the ancient Celts and Druids of Northern Europe, October 31st was not a night of fun. It was a spiritual threshold. They believed the veil between the world of the living and the world of the dead grew thin, thin enough for spirits to cross freely. People feared what wandered in the dark, so they lit massive bonfires, offered crops, animals, and sometimes even people to appease the spirits they believed ruled the night. They wore masks made of animal skins and skulls, not to entertain, but to hide, to blend in among the dead, so that restless souls might pass them by. The rituals of Samhain were deeply religious, but their religion was not the worship of God. It was the worship of nature, of spirits, of forces unseen. It was the practice of fear, and though it dressed itself in harvest imagery, its heartbeat was death. The Bible speaks clearly about such things. There shall not be found among you anyone who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens, or one who calls up the dead, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 18:10-12. The same spiritual behaviors that defined Samhain, divination, communication with the dead, sacrifices to unseen powers, are exactly what God condemns. But mankind rarely abandons what it fears. Instead, it renames it. When the Roman Empire spread across Europe, they absorbed Celtic customs and merged them with their own festivals honoring Pomona, the goddess of fruit and trees. Bonfires and masks became symbols of the season, but their roots remained the same, a night of death pretending to be harvest. Centuries later, the church tried to erase this darkness by overlaying it with light. They created All Saints' Day on November 1st, a day to honor the faithful departed, and the night before became All Hallows' Eve. But the darkness was not erased, it was baptized. The masks remained, the fires burned, The spirits still walked in story and ritual, and the people no longer feared the night. They celebrated it. The watchmen must see what history hides, that Halloween is not a coincidence of culture, but a continuation of worship once offered to other gods. Beneath its symbols lie ancient covenants of fear, the jack-o'-lantern, once a carved skull to scare spirits, the costume, once a disguise to survive the dead, the treat, once an offering to keep evil away. Today we repeat the gestures, but forget the meaning. We say it's for fun, but in God's eyes, symbols still speak. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6:16. We are not called to flirt with darkness. We are called to expose it. And if the origins of a celebration are rooted in necromancy and fear, it cannot be purified by laughter or culture. Because in the end, a mask of innocence cannot change what the heart of the night was made for, the honoring of death, the trembling before spirits, and the forgetting of the one who conquers both. This is the foundation of Halloween. It began with fear, was clothed in religion, and now parades as entertainment. But the watchman remembers the origin. He knows that before you can discern the present, you must expose the past. Centuries after the Druids lit their fires, the church looked upon the land and saw a people still enslaved to fear. The bonfires still burned, the masks still danced, the dead were still invoked. So in the 7th century, church leaders attempted to redeem what they could not erase. They moved a holy day onto a heathen night. They called it All Saints' Day, a day to honor those who died in Christ, and the evening before became All Hallows' Eve. But in trying to baptize the darkness, they allowed the darkness to remain. Old rituals were painted with new names. Instead of casting out fear, they wrapped it in liturgical robes. What began as a desire to honor the saints became a door through which the symbols of Samhain walked again. And the people learned to mix holy and profane, as though God would share his altar with idols. The Apostle Paul asks, "What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" 2 Corinthians 6:14. There is no middle ground. Light cannot borrow from darkness and still remain pure. Holiness cannot be mixed with habit and remain holy. History records that the masses continued to light fires, wear masks, and tell tales of the wandering dead. Only now they did so under the shadow of cathedrals. The name changed, the nature did not. This is the tragedy of syncretism, when truth tries to make peace with error. When the church borrows from the world, it loses its authority to confront the world. The watchman knows that God never sanctions mixture. From Genesis to Revelation, he divides light from darkness, truth from lie, holy from unclean. He does not merge them for mission. He separates them for witness. So when the church joined hands with a festival of the dead, even under a new name, it did not redeem the night. It legitimized it. And centuries later, that compromise still echoes through our streets. But God still calls his people to come out and be separate, to draw the line again, to refuse to call evil harmless just because it has a costume. For the light of Christ does not need the color of darkness to shine brighter. It needs only to be uncovered. And so, as we trace the journey from ancient Samhain to modern Halloween, we see the pattern, how fear was rebranded as faith, and how the church lost its discernment in the process. But the story is not over, for even today, that mixture has taken a new form, a celebration that calls itself innocent while retaining the symbols of the grave. The fires of Samhain have gone out. The temples are gone. Yet the celebration remains, only dressed in brighter colors. What once belonged to priests and druids has become the playground of culture. What once called upon spirits now calls it fun. Today, Halloween marches through our streets as the most profitable holiday after Christmas, Children parade in costumes. Adults host parties in imitation of death. Skeletons, witches, demons, and ghosts hang as decoration, as entertainment. The world calls it harmless. But the language of its symbols has never changed. The skull still proclaims mortality. The witch still represents rebellion. The ghost still whispers of necromancy. The darkness still delights in fear. The Bible reminds us, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. So what spirit gives birth to a festival that glorifies fear itself? When a believer imitates the symbols of death for amusement, he does not lose his salvation, but he forgets his separation. He forgets he was called out of darkness into marvelous light. Some say, it's just candy. Others say, it's just culture. But behind every just is a justification. And justification is what the flesh gives when it wants permission to blend in. Even churches have joined the compromise. We rename the night Harvest Fest and invite the same costumes, the same shadows, into sanctuaries meant for light. We trade the altar for amusement and call it outreach. But outreach that disguises itself in the garments of darkness cannot bring deliverance to those who dwell in it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. Conformity always begins with imitation, and imitation always begins with compromise. The watchman looks upon the modern Halloween and sees not celebration, but confusion. A culture that laughs at death, unaware that death has already been defeated. A church that joins the laughter, forgetting it was saved from the very darkness it now decorates. To the world, Halloween is nostalgia. To the enemy, it is homage. And to God, it is mixture. A blending of fear and faith, light and darkness, truth and deception. The time has come to see clearly again, not with superstition, but with discernment, to remember that every imitation of death is a mockery of the resurrection. Halloween did not die with the Druids. It evolved. It moved from firelit fields into neighborhoods and homes, from ancient altars into popular culture. But its spirit remained unchanged, because symbols never stop speaking. They carry meaning whether we remember it or not. Every October 31st, millions of people unknowingly participate in what the modern occult world still regards as one of its most sacred nights, the Samhain Sabbat. In the religion of Wicca, in covens across the world, Samhain marks the death of the sun god and the birth of the dark half of the year. It is a time for rituals of divination, necromancy, and renewal. The living attempt to communicate with ancestral spirits or to gain power through sacrifice and spell. These are not myths. They are practices that continue openly today. Many covens gather in forests, apartments, and even through online ceremonies, offering chants, sigils, candles, and invocations to gods and spirits condemned by scripture. In some occult manuals, Halloween is called the Witch's New Year, a night when the veil between worlds is believed to be thinnest, a night for summoning, communing, and casting. The same lies dressed in modern mysticism that once defined Samhain. And while the world dances in costumes, those who practice witchcraft take the night seriously. They understand the power of alignment, that participation grants permission. But the Word of God speaks directly to such things. When they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Isaiah 8:19. And again, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Immorality, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. God has never blurred the line between worship and witchcraft, between the spirit of truth and the spirits of deception. What modern culture calls harmless fun, the spiritual realm calls agreement. Agreement is participation, and participation is alignment. When believers adopt the imagery of darkness, they send a silent message of tolerance toward it. Every symbol, a skull, a broom, a pentagram, a cauldron, still carries its ancient meaning. The enemy does not need your belief, only your permission. The watchman must discern the unseen. He must understand that the spiritual world is not impressed by costume or comedy. Darkness recognizes recognition, and recognition opens doors. To the witch, Halloween remains holy. To the sorcerer, it is sacred. To the necromancer, it is opportunity. And to the follower of Christ, it must remain forbidden. Because our holiness is not cultural, it is covenantal. We are bought with blood, not borrowed from darkness. We cannot call evil entertainment and expect heaven to remain silent. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 6:15. Therefore, when the world lifts its candles to the dark and calls it celebration, the children of light must stand apart, not in fear, but in conviction, not in pride, but in purity. Because the same night others call sacred to spirits is the night we remember that Christ triumphed over every principality and power. He reigns above every throne, every spell, every shadow, and that is why the watchman does not join the dance. He sounds the alarm, because silence in the face of darkness is still participation in it. The question is not whether Halloween is fun. The question is whether it is faithful. Because the true test of holiness is not how much darkness you can tolerate, but how much light you are willing to walk in. All throughout Scripture, God's call to His people has been the same. Be holy, for I am holy. Not trendy, not tolerant, holy. He does not ask for participation in what He has already judged. He calls for separation, not imitation. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. 1 Corinthians 10:21. When you join a celebration born in rebellion, you lend it your approval, and the world takes that approval as permission. But we were not called to blend in with the world. We were called to stand apart from it. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. 2 Corinthians 6:17. The watchman understands. You cannot expose the darkness while entertaining yourself with it. You cannot warn others about a fire you refuse to leave. So what do? We turn the night back to the one who owns it. We replace imitation with intercession, fear with faith, and darkness with devotion. Instead of joining the world's celebration of death, we can gather in worship and thanksgiving. Hold nights of prayer. Teach our children about the armor of God. Remind them that courage is not found in costumes, but in Christ. We can serve our communities, feed the hungry, and be the light in the very season the world gives to shadows. Because holiness is not isolation, it is illumination. It is standing so firm in truth that darkness cannot stand near you. And on this night, more than any other, the world needs to see a people who still believe that obedience is greater than popularity, and purity is stronger than fear. Let the world call you strange. Let the culture call you outdated. But let heaven call you faithful. For the light of Christ was never meant to be hidden under a costume. It was meant to stand upon a hill, uncompromised, unashamed, and unafraid. Halloween may glorify death, but death has already been defeated. The cross of Christ shattered the dominion of darkness. The grave lost its voice the moment He spoke the word finished. Every spirit that once claimed power was stripped of it at Calvary. Every curse was broken. Every shadow was exposed. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 1:5. We are not the frightened children of the night. We are the redeemed sons and daughters of the light. We do not decorate our homes with death, for our hearts are decorated with life. So when October 31st comes, and the world dresses itself in darkness, remember who you represent. Remember the blood that marked your door. Remember the resurrection that ended fear. Let others celebrate the grave. We celebrate the empty tomb. Let others invite the spirits. We are already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The watchman stands upon the wall, not with condemnation, but with clarity, warning those below that light has come and darkness has no place left to hide. So rise, child of God, stand apart, shine bright, for the night is passing away and the true light is already shining. 1 John 2:8. This has been the watchman. Stay alert, stay anchored, and remember, to defend the truth, you must first refuse the lie.